feeding your passion for local sports in the afternoon. It's the Drive Guys with Kevin Gleason and Kyle Draper on your radio at 1140 AM.
Streaming audio at SacktownSports.com and the Sacktown Sports app.
You can also watch the show on YouTube at Sacktown Sports 1140. Here are the Drive Guys with Kevin Gleason and Kyle Draper.
Yeah, what's up? Kings bring down the curtain on 23 with two big games. They got the Hawks tonight. They got Ja and the Grizz on New Year's Eve. And joining us now from Atlanta, he'll give us an idea where the Kings are as they get ready for this one tonight. Kyle Draper. Kyle's going to ask if you're at the Omni, but I realize the Hawks don't play at the Omni anymore, do they?
Oh, my gosh. You're dating yourself. Everybody 40 and under is like, what the heck is the Omni, Whitey? What are you talking about right here?
I know.
Where's Mike Fratello at when you need him, right? The czar of the telestrator. Where's Mike at? Get Dominique and Doc Rivers running out here. Oh, yeah. Those were the days. Atlanta Hawks heyday for sure, man. You're going way back on that one.
Cliff Levingston.
Right. The Hawks used to play at a hotel?
What's going on in Atlanta? By the way, somebody already wondering, hey, is Kyle, does he have the call, the play-by-play tonight? So what are your duties tonight?
Definitely play-by-play. Yeah. And you know, the Kings needed a win tonight. So they said, we got to have Drapes on the call so he could bring some of that good magic, some of that good juju. And so I'm looking for a Kings win tonight. This is arguably the biggest game of the season up to this point in terms of, you know, your psychology, how you feel about the team coming off a bad loss the other night against Portland. And so I'm fired up for this one, man. This is a big game tonight.
Well, since you brought it up, what happened to your juju in Portland? I mean, that was you too. Where was the Kyle Draper juju in Portland?
I left it at the Nike store when I bought seven pairs of sneakers. That's what happened. I left all the good vibes at the Nike store, man. We had a little team outing before the game after shoot-around that day. I bought seven pairs of sneakers at the Nike store. And so your boy is loaded up. And so I was too focused on that to bring the good vibes to the Kings that night.
Understandable. The Hawks, as we said yesterday, and as Kyle well knows as he gets ready for the game, they're having some of the same problems the Kings are having. This is what Quinn Snyder says, and this could be Mike Brown has said almost this exact same thing about his team. Quote, collectively, we have to make each possession more important. If we're not making shots, that defensive end becomes even more important. There needs to be more focus on our defensive execution. Quinn Snyder said it, and Mike Brown's been saying pretty much that same thing all year long, right?
Yeah, and we're at the point now with the Sacramento Kings where we can't even say the offense dictates the defense, because we've seen it time and time again in these first quarters. The offense is flowing, and then you look up after the first 12 minutes, and it's 35-33, or it's 38-37. And so this isn't about, you know what, the Kings, their offense, when shots aren't falling, they aren't playing defense. They just aren't playing defense no matter what. And I think this is going to be a test tonight with arguably one of the best backcourts in DeJounte Murray and Trae Young. Trae playing at an all-NBA level as of late. And so, no, for both teams, I mean, this is Atlanta's an elite offense when you look at it. Top 10 in offensive rating, top 10 in rebounding, top 5 in second chance points. And so this is going to be a tough test tonight.
Yeah, I know the Hawks have a lot of talent. I mean, it's a little surprising to see their record when you consider to the point you made the talent they have. Then, of course, Memphis coming up. And Memphis, finally, they lost last night for the first time since Ja came back. So they're playing a lot better. That said, in my opinion, Kyle, not trying to be, you know, Freddie fan here, but I think these are two really winnable games for the Kings. Would you agree?
Yeah, but you, a Freddie fan, it's too early to be making your appearance on the Drive Guys. I mean, we're 3 minutes in and you're already being Freddie fan. Wouldn't Freddie fan you have said that the other night, Tuesday night in Portland?
Sure.
That was a winnable game too, right? And what happened? We got smacked up. Uh-huh. We got smacked up. So, Freddie fan, you could go back to your grandmom's basement. You could go back to playing Fortnite and everything like that. If I'm the Kings, I'm not even thinking about winnable games. It's not about that. It's about taking care of business, showing the respect of these Atlanta Hawks that you show against Denver, that you show against Oklahoma City, because as we saw on Tuesday night, anybody can beat anybody, Freddie fan, in the NBA.
I know that's true, but what I'm getting at, or what Freddie's getting at, if I understand him right, you know, road wins are still very important, and you've got a chance. I'm not saying, hey, they better win both. It's an automatic they win both these. But you've got a chance to win these next two games, both of them on the road against some decent teams. So I'm very interested to see how the Kings respond after they got, you know, shellacked. But how many times have we said that this year? Too many times, frankly.
Yeah, and that's what's frustrating, right? It's, you know, the Jekyll and Hyde act that we're seeing from these Sacramento Kings is weighing on us as fans. It's like after a win, we're like, uh-oh, here they go.
Yeah.
You know, they beat OKC. They beat Phoenix. They're ready to go. And then they come out and lay an egg against Portland. And so we're about to turn into 2024. If I'm the Sacramento Kings, and I'm talking about the players right now, I could argue some guys are playing for spots right now. With the way the season has gone, some guys have underperformed. You got the trade deadline coming up in 5.5 weeks or so. Now's your time to begin to play your best basketball of the season. I mean, we know the Western Conference is tough.
Yeah.
We know it's you know, a log jam right there. But, man, there are certain games on your schedule I feel like you got to have. And I think tonight's one of them, especially coming off a bad loss against Portland. Now, if you beat Portland and come out and lose to Atlanta, okay, all is okay. The world's not coming to an end. But because you lost to Portland, Freddie fan, you know as well as I do, you got to come out and get tonight.
I know.
Tonight's a big game. You got to get this one.
Yeah. To the point you made about how, hey, the NBA this year especially, you never know. We had one of those games last night. And I'm not about to make excuses for the Warriors, but the Warriors last night were home. They'd been playing better. They were hosting the Heat. The Heat without Jimmy Butler, without Kyle Lowry. And the Heat destroyed the Warriors last night. A very embarrassing loss for a team that, like the Kings, is trying to get things going in the right direction. Thought they'd found some traction. And right now they're shaking their heads going, wow, what was that? So it happens.
It happens in the NBA. I think the lasting image of last night's game was Steph Curry and Klay Thompson sitting on the bench after the game looking bewildered, in disbelief, like, what is happening? You know, here we are more than a third into the season, and the Warriors are in 11th place in the Western Conference. And you look at the teams ahead of them, I don't see anybody really falling off a cliff. In fact, you could argue Memphis is about to make a charge. They lost last night, but let's not forget, they didn't have John Morant. Memphis is undefeated with John Morant in the lineup, and so Golden State, they may be a player in the trade market, whether it's Draymond, whether it's Wiggins. Like, if I'm running the ship out there in Golden State, I got Steph Curry still in his prime, in his peak. Are we really going to go out like this, especially when you got guys coming up contract-wise, a Klay Thompson coming up with a contract? You got Chris Paul's situation you got to figure out. And so don't be surprised if the Warriors try to be active at the trade deadline.
I think it happens to all teams in all sports. Eventually, the things that you rely upon, you know, people get old, things start to wear down. For example, and Steph Curry is incredible, we know that. I think the last two games now, they've been outscored while he's been on the floor, which is a little unusual. And last night, I thought that was an example of, you know, Heat culture. That word is overused, but the Heat rely on their culture, and the Warriors have this culture. Last night, Heat culture, whatever it is, was much more impressive than the Warrior culture, which I think is starting to crumble a little bit.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, some people have said, oh, they're better without Draymond. No, they're not.
No.
And the problem that they have now is, outside of Steph Curry, who can you depend on night in and night out? It's not Klay, even though he's been playing better as of late. Wiggins, he's up and down. You know, Chris Paul is 39 years old, so what are you expecting out of him? You look at some of their young guys, the Kamingas, the Moody's, they're in and out of the lineup, Looney. And so they got some serious issues, you know. A lot of teams in the NBA have issues, and I think this may be one of the wildest trade deadlines you'll see in a while, because case in point, you look at a team like Atlanta, and we talked about them yesterday on our show. Where are they going? What's their future? They're 12-18. They've had this core for a few years, and they still aren't, you know, an Eastern Conference contender. Is this the year that they decide to make some big changes, whether it's Trae Young or DeJounte Murray? Or same thing with Golden State. Is this the year? And so I think it's going to be an active trade deadline, and I think the Sacramento Kings are in positions to be buyers, whereas you look like a team like Golden State. You look at a team like Atlanta, they're going to be sellers, I think, at the trade deadline.
Yeah, I could certainly see that because of the point also that you made yesterday when you pointed out that for fans, you look at the standings like it's wide open. Why not us? There's a lot of teams that can genuinely say that. So there's motivation for front offices right now to say, hey, you know what? who knows when we'll have a chance like this again. We got to go for it. So it's going to be, what do we got, 6 weeks from, I think it was 6 weeks from yesterday, whatever.
Yeah,
it is,
six weeks from yesterday, February 8th. Yeah, coming up.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it'll be interesting. We're going to take a real quick timeout. When we come back, we got to talk about what happened to the Detroit Pistons.
Do we? Oh, man.
Because when we went off the air, it's like, wow, look at this.
Right.
Yeah. Also, look back at 2023 for the Kings. Is there one moment from last year, this year, I mean, the 2023 year for the Kings, one moment you'll remember more than any other for the rest of your life? Right back with that. It's a Drive, guys. Whitey in Sacramento. Kyle's in Atlanta. Sacktown Sports.
New home for 49ers football in the 916 Sacktown Sports.
One of my New Year's resolutions 2024, get to True Sports Cards. I know you were there, Kyle, and you loved it, and they treated you right. They're going to treat everybody right if you go in there.
Yeah, that's my favorite place, man. It's I don't know if I told you, and I've mentioned to anybody on air about this, but my daughter won he gave my daughter a graded Trae Young rookie card, a 9.5 Trae Young rookie card. Just took care of your boy. And so all of a sudden now she's excited to go to the Atlanta Hawks game when they come to Sacramento. She ain't mentioned Trae Young ever in her life, but now that's one of her favorite players since our guy Imran hooked her up.
That's very nice. Yeah. Wow. All right. Yeah. So we'll see you at True Sports Cards. As I look ahead to the new year and look at the Kings schedule, there's one thing that concerns me, Kyle, and maybe it shouldn't. Maybe this is silly, but I look ahead here and I see that on January 9th, the Kings are scheduled to play the Pistons in Detroit. And that makes me a little nervous, but nothing to worry about there, right? There is no reason to worry about that game right now. Right?
Nah, they'll win before then, right? That streak will be done. It should have ended yesterday, right?
Yeah.
Like, they should have beaten the Boston Celtics. Let's look at the Pistons' schedule. I think they're going to win tomorrow, to be honest with you.
They got Toronto tomorrow? Is that what
they have? Toronto. Yeah. Toronto will be on the second night of a back-to-back also. Toronto plays the Celtics tonight, so they'll have their hands full. They'll be weary, tired. So I got the Pistons ending this thing tomorrow night. Don't worry, Whitey. January 9th, it'll be another game. We won't even remember that game.
Okay.
Yeah. So if they do end up losing, then they have at the Rockets, at the Jazz, at the Warriors, at the Nuggets.
They have the Spurs in there somewhere, don't they?
Kings first, then the Spurs.
Yeah, Kings first. At home, in Detroit. I believe I'm on the call for that game.
And ooh. So
that's one, if that streak is still going, I might call in sick or something like that, because if we wind up losing to Detroit and that streak is over, dude, it's going to be like the sale of Babe Ruth, the trade of Babe Ruth. You know, it's going to be like the Sacramento Jinx, and I don't want to be that guy.
Yeah, so the Pistons have lost now 28 straight right after last night, which ties the all-time record single season or over two seasons. So they would have to lose their next six for that Kings game to have any bearing on the streak. So you're probably right. But I think you said yesterday, you know, we were saying, wow, look at that. They're up 20 in Boston. And you said, I got to watch this because the collapse is going to be very entertaining. And you nailed it. Overtime, but Boston got it done.
It is unbelievable watching the Detroit Pistons. I'm a Monty Williams fan. I even like Cade Cunningham. I even think Jaden Ivey is going to be a good pro. But, man, they are bad in terms of execution. Like, some of the defensive mistakes. Like, the Celtics had that 19-point deficit erased by about the five-minute mark of the third quarter. Like, it was like it evaporated quicker than water in the Sacramento summertime. Mm-hmm, like, it was that bad. And you knew it was going to happen. And I felt bad for the guys because they played hard. They just make some of the most boneheaded plays, you know, mental lapses that I've ever seen. And from a talent standpoint, they are better than a team that has lost 28. From a basketball IQ and situational IQ standpoint, they're a 28 loss in a row kind of team. It was pitiful to watch last night.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, because I remember that Sixer team that lost so many in a row, and I remember a Charlotte team that lost a lot. And I mean, those were just flat-out terrible teams. This team obviously isn't very good, but they do have talent. And I kind of feel sorry. I like Cade Cunningham. Love Monty Williams. I like Beef Stew. Yeah. And you feel badly for him. But on the other hand, I do want to see him continue to lose. Because I want to see him make history. If I'm being honest, hey, I feel bad for you guys, but I want to see them make NBA history.
What kind of history are we talking, like worst team ever kind of history? Like, what was it, the 72 Sixers?
Just
the longest.
Something
like that, 72, just, 73 yeah, Sixers?
Yeah, that team won 9 games, the team you're talking about. Yeah. I'm just talking about the longest losing streak. If they lose one more game, that'd be the all-time record. And then,
then whatever happens after that. We just don't want to be the team that snaps the streak, right?
Right.
Like, think about this.
You're the Sacramento
Kings. You finally ended your playoff drought. And then the next season, you become the team, the franchise that the Detroit Pistons, like, you'll be a footnote in history. Like, that'll be a Jeopardy question 50 years from now.
So if the Pistons end up losing 9 or fewer games this year, that means the city of Detroit will have the worst team in all 4 major American professional sports since 2000. Because it would be the 2020 Red Wings have the worst record. 2003 Tigers have the worst record. 2008 Lions didn't win a game. And then the Pistons.
I still like their chances to win more than 9, but we'll see.
You know what's interesting, guys? Sorry to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
This is throwing me off a loop, right? This normally doesn't happen. You guys see where I'm at. I'm up high right now. I'm on the concourse level.
Yeah.
Radio row, if you will.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, you got the concession stands behind me. You got the people behind me. And I look to my right, and I see a guy walking down the steps, like right there, like literally, like right there, walking down the steps. And I'm like, oh, man, I wonder where he got that ball from, because he is carrying a ball. Then I did a double take, and it's freaking Trae Young, like, hanging out on the concourse and then walking. I don't know. Is there a practice facility or something connected? But that's, like, he was on the concourse level and then walked down to the court. And I don't know. It threw me for a loop. And now he's on the floor about to go through some warm-up.
He was hanging out saying, oh, that's a drive, guys, and maybe I'll get on. I'll just stand here. And maybe Drapes will ask me to come on. No, he didn't ask me.
You might be right. He might have wanted to come. If I would have known sooner. But I did a double take. Like, that's Trae Young. Speaking of my daughter's favorite player.
Yeah. He heard you talking about him.
Right. He just came out of nowhere, man. That's like one of the strangest things I've ever seen. Because literally, you got the bar right behind me with Miller Lite on draft. And then Trae Young just comes from behind me here. And so, that was pretty interesting, man.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. That derailed me a little bit.
Thank you for telling us. Maybe he's a big Miller Lite fan. I don't know. But I know the Hawks, as bad as their record is this year, they make me nervous. We talked about how, you know, offensively potent they are. But they've won, what is it, the last 4 times they've played the Kings, they've beaten them?
Yes, and thanks to my guy G-Man, who just showed up, not only the last 4 times, according to my guy G-Man, they've won 14 of the last 16, right, here in Atlanta.
Hey, G-Man, I see him there next
year. Yeah, G-Man, yeah. G-Man's right there. Yeah. I mean, let the people see you, G-Man. Let me see. Hey, hold on here, G-Man. There he is. G-Man, right there.
He is.
What's this, there. Game number 3,000? Who's counting, right?
Yeah.
and the sad part about it, G-Man says they've lost 14 of the last 16 here. And this guy's been here for all of them.
He knows all about the Omni. He knows about the Omni, doesn't he?
Huh?
Yeah, G-Man knows about the Omni.
Oh, no. G-Man said he used to be 6 foot, used to be able to dunk and everything, but coming here to Atlanta, the losses just beat him down and down and down.
Man.
And so they used to call this place the Highlight Factory, too. Remember back in the day? The Highlight. Yeah, the old Omni. Yeah, the Highlight Factory. Back when Dominique. Not many highlights here as of late, though.
No, not as many. So should be entertaining, though. It's going to be a great you're going to have a lot of opportunities. I hope you've been saving up your voice, because this should be a very high-scoring, high-flying game. You're going to have a lot of opportunities to call big offensive plays.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. When you look at these two teams, I know the Kings, in terms of offensive rating, isn't where it was a season ago. But when you look at the ability to score the basketball, you're talking number 8 in the league in Sacramento, number 3 in the league in Atlanta. And both these teams like to shoot the 3 as well. And so, and Trae Young, I know Trae Young, he hasn't won anything. There's some question marks about can he lead a team, that kind of thing. But in terms of watching him play, he's, to me, one of the most entertaining players in the league. Mm-hmm. And Whitey, I don't know if you heard this stat. Prior to the last game that they played, Trae Young had a streak of seven straight 30-plus point, 10-plus assist games. Think about how crazy that is.
Mm-hmm.
30 and 10 in seven straight games. So this dude's a baller, and I'm excited to call his game tonight. Should be fun.
By the way, speaking of threes, I know you got, after this game, Memphis. Ja, and you know, he's been playing really well, and as you pointed out, he wasn't with them last night, but they lost. Yeah. But they've won every game since he came back that he's played in. He's not shooting a three ball well, and it's kind of nitpicking, but I think he's like 3 for 18. So definitely, if I were playing Ja, which, you know, would be like good luck, but I'd give him a lot of room, you know, Kyle. If I'm playing that guy, pickups, like, go ahead. Yeah, you ain't getting by me, but you can have whatever shot you want. But he still gets by people.
Yeah, he still gets by people, and that's his game, right? It's not even a mid-range game. It's not a three-point game. Like, this dude, him and De'Aaron Fox, and I'd have to look at the numbers, I would imagine they're, you know, among the top two or three guards in the league at finishing by the rim in terms of drives. And I think Ja is number one in drives per game, you know, since he's been back over his last four. And so, and the crazy thing, Whitey, is we all know the scouting report on Ja.
Yeah.
We all know, yep, give him the jumper, make him shoot the three, but somehow, some way, he still is able to get to the paint. So, hey, I just see, hold on for a sec. My guy just walked in. If I can get this guy on our show, I'm going to snag him.
Yeah.
Dominique Wilkins just walked in the building. I see the human highlight film himself, Dominique Wilkins. If we could get Dominique on, my life is made. So, I'm going to see if he comes up here. Right now, he's on the floor. We got a short show. But, man, this is the part I love, Whitey. You're sitting here watching guys warm up, and you see Hall of Famers walking into the building. It's awesome, man.
Yeah, well, like Dominique, the thing about Ja, and, you know, Julius, I think, was like this. Some of the guys, most NBA players, they go up in the air, you know they're going to come down about where they took off. But some of those guys, and Ja's one of them, it's like they get up in the air, and then it's almost like they fly around.
Right.
You know?
Yes.
You don't know what they're going to do once they get up in the air. It's incredible.
Yeah, like – Ja is better in the air than he is on the ground.
Yeah.
Like, seriously.
Yeah.
Like, and I saw one play where he went up. I don't know who. Was it Valanciunas or somebody like that? And he just took the shot to the body. Yeah, it was Valanciunas because they were playing the Pelicans. He took the shot to the body and then went up like another foot above Valanciunas.
Right.
And so we got arguably two of the most exciting guards in the league that we're about to face. And two guys who can single-handedly – beat you, go off for 40, and just dominate you. So this is a big test, man. We got to get this done tonight.
Yeah, nice way to wrap up the calendar year with these two games. Kyle, looking back at 2023, I know there's so much to look back on, so many great things happened for the Kings. Is there a moment that comes to mind that you think you'll always remember as, like, for you, the biggest, most memorable moment of the 2023 Kings season?
Yeah, I think, you know, for me, it's an easy choice. It'll always be game one of the playoffs.
Yep.
Because it will be one of those games where you'll say 30 years from now, I remember where I was when the Sacramento Kings had their first playoff game in 17 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the loudest arena that I have ever been in. Been in a lot of arenas, obviously. But that game, when that team ran out, it was one of those emotional games where, obviously, you're excited, you're happy, but it almost brought a tear to my eyes because you could feel 17 years of frustration seeping out of Sacramento Kings fans when their team ran on the court. So that's number one in my book in 2023.
I'm with you 100%, and I'll never forget 2000, I think it was, game four of a best of five against the Lakers. So the year before, the Kings had finally gotten back into the playoffs. They got knocked out by Utah. The next year, they're in the first round. They're playing the Lakers again, and they had a game four they had to win in Sacramento. They did win that game. They ended up losing game five, but they won that game. But it was so loud in there. I remember I went with my daughter Lonnie, and I remember thinking, you know, they played many playoff games after that, huge games. But that game, game four in 2000, it was so loud, and I talked to some players about this. I wondered if I'd ever hear anything quite like it again. But I did. That game one, to your point, against the Warriors – I'm not sure it was louder, but as far as the intensity of the crowd, yeah, it definitely matched that. I think it was the most intense playoff atmosphere that we'd ever, ever had in Sacramento. And that's saying quite a bit.
That's saying quite a bit. And, you know, I had my family there. The son, daughter were there. And, you know, they'll be able to tell their kids,
yeah,
you know, if they're still living in Sacramento, I was there when the streak was broken, when the curse ended. And I still get chills. And at times, I still search that video out and look back on that day to try and recapture that moment.
Mm-hmm. All right, we got to take time out here. Kyle's in Atlanta. He's waiting to see if he might land Dominique Wilkins.
Yeah, I'm looking at him.
Working
he still
on
look
that.
Like he could score about 30 yeah, right now. I mean, Dominique is sharp.
I'm sure he see. Could. Also, when we come back, 49ers are stumbling in one of tackle football's most basic areas. What's up with that? That and more when we return here to Drive Guys on Sactown Sports.
Count down the end of the year with us on Sactown Sports.
Sunday, we close out 2023 and usher in 2024 with a big doubleheader. First, the San Francisco 49ers look to regroup as they battle the Commanders in D.C. Then it's the Kings and Grizzlies from Memphis.
49ers at 10, Kings at 5 on New Year's Eve on your home of the 49ers and Kings, Sactown Sports. Live and local, it's the Drive Guys. Watch the show on youtube.com/SactownSports1140.
Or listen on the Sactown Sports app.
Yeah, it's our last show of the year, and it's a short one. We make way top of the hour for game night. Game night, Scott Marsh, get you ready for the Kings and the Hawks. Kyle Draper in Atlanta. He has the call tonight on NBC Sports California. And he's also kind of keeping an eye on Dominique Wilkins at the arena, hoping to get Dominique on our show here. So fingers crossed. I got a basketball question for you, Kyle, not to throw you a curveball, but
okay,
you mentioned Dominique had me, made me think of this also because I just saw one of these guys on TV here as I looked up. Who would you say NBA is a great player who is still, in your mind, underrated? A guy who maybe in your mind is like, you know, he's better than he even gets credit for, even though he may be recognized as a great player. And
currently in the league right now?
No, not necessarily, but an okay, all-timer. The guy that I think of, just to give you an idea, you know, where I'm going here,
yeah,
and I just saw him on TV, he played against Dominique. And Isaiah Thomas, to me, he was never one of my
yeah,
favorite players.
Yeah.
But, you know, people think of Bird and Magic and Jordan yeah, with good reason. Isaiah, in some ways, kind of held his own against them, but he's never considered anywhere near as good as those three
right,
guys.
And I think it's because of the off-the-court
yeah,
stuff, the rivalry with Jordan,
yeah,
walking off the floor
right,
when Jordan and the Bulls beat him, the Last Dance documentary, you know, all that painted Isaiah in a bad light. And I agree with you. When you look at what Isaiah did, I believe he's the only star player, and he'll tell you this if you ask him, that beat Bird, Magic, and Jordan in a playoff series.
Yeah, I hadn't
like,
thought of that.
Think about that. Uh-huh. Yeah, he's the only guy. Like, I'm trying to think, and I'm talking star player. You know, there's probably been some role players, but a star that beat Magic for a championship, that beat Bird in an Eastern Conference Finals, that beat Jordan in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
yeah,
no, you're right about that. And you're talking about a two-time champ, you know, a finals MVP one year, a Hall of Famer. Nah, I agree with you. Like, when we talk about all-time great point guards, for some reason his name is never mentioned.
Right.
And, you know, at his size and what he was able to do, he has to be up there. I agree with you. You talk about a guy that had handles, killer instinct. I agree. I also – I'm biased coming from Philly. I think Dr. J does not get enough credit for his career. And I'm not just talking about NBA. I feel like people don't look at the ABA as worthy. When Dr. J was Jordan before Jordan, you know
yeah,
what I mean?
I
and
do.
So I would include Dr. J in that mix as well.
Yeah, I'm a big Dr. J guy. And, yeah, I think by the time he even got to the NBA, his best days were behind
right,
him. So most of us never really saw him at his peak. And he was still obviously an all-time great player. So, yeah,
yeah,
it's unfortunate because he was on some good teams that couldn't quite – get over the hump. But yeah, Isaiah too. Isaiah was easily the best player on teams that won back-to-back titles. It wasn't close. And he had Rodman, a young Rodman on there, and Joe Dumars was good. Yeah. But you look at some of the guys Larry played with, some all-time greats and Magic, and Isaiah never had teammates of that caliber.
Right. I mean, you look at Magic and Bird. I mean, they had five or six Hall of Famers.
Yeah, and they helped make them better, too.
And they made them better, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yep. But Isaiah, man, I'm trying to think, you know, when he came into the league, he had the skills, meaning the handle. He had the jumper, the ability. Like, he was Kyrie before Kyrie.
Yeah.
You know, like,
he was a killer.
Yes.
Assassin when it came to winning.
And, you know, I've had a chance to interview Isaiah a number of times. You know, I just think there's this narrative, there's this belief about him that, you know, not a good guy for some reason. Mm-hmm. Tore down the CBA, the old Continental Basketball Association. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He gets blamed for that. He blames Jordan for not making the Olympic team, like all that. He gets blamed for icing out Jordan in the All-Star game. Mm-hmm. And so, no, I'm with you, man. I urge people to look up Isaiah Thomas highlights because he was a joy to watch. He was exciting to watch.
Yeah, but I would look up Dominique first if you don't know Dominique.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If it wasn't for Jordan, Dominique would have been that guy with all the posters and everything like that. You're right.
Oh, he was incredible.
So I do have some bad news.
Okay.
I don't think Dominique's coming.
All right.
Nah, I think he went to the media room to eat and everything. He never made it up the stairs, and so – trust me, if he would have made it up, I would have put this headset down and ran over and attacked, like, Neek, you coming over here. But I think he's getting his pregame grub on.
So. All right. Well, that's when they come out here, we'll make that one of our resolutions.
That's just in a couple of weeks, too. Yeah. They're out here in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. So we'll get him on. We'll get him on the show. The 49ers with a big game, you know, short week, big game. This surprised me, Kyle. I know we talked about it earlier in the season, but the 49ers, as good as their defense has been, through 15 games last season, the 49ers had missed 79 tackles. It's tackle football. You got to tackle people. So last year, through 15 games, they had missed 79 tackles. This year, they've missed 120 tackles.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's 21st most in the NFL, according to Matt Barrows. But they were actually doing very well until that game against Cleveland in week 6. And since then, they're just missing a ton of tackles every game. Why? The only theory that makes sense is they're kind of worn down and the defense is fatigued, which, if anything, suggests that, boy, they better get that bye in the first week or this team's in serious trouble.
Yeah, and, you know, what's so crazy about it is, you know, a few weeks ago we thought they were a shoe-in for that bye, and now even Detroit, you know, has something to say.
Yeah.
And so who would have thought, you know, we looked at Dallas and we looked at Philly. Detroit quietly has been going about its business, but you're right. Like, the Niners need that bye to get healthy, to get some rest. You know, they're banged up on multiple fronts. They're banged up on the line. They're banged up in the secondary with Jair Brown.
Yeah.
So, you're right. They need this bye just to mend, get healed up, freshen up. Mm-hmm. Give them credit, though. They've been playing at such an elite level. I understand being worn down, but that can't be an excuse.
Yeah, Fred Warner last season, through 15 games, had missed 18 tackles. So far, has already missed 24 this year.
Wow.
Greenlaw was at 11 this point last year. Already this year, he's missed 16. Nick Bosa missed 3 through 15 games last year. He's already missed 8. So, poor execution, wearing down, I don't know, but to me, it does underscore how important it is, and we already know it's vitally important for them to get that first round bye. This week, they may get a break. It turns out, looks like Sam Howell may face them. After all, Jacoby Brissett, who's been playing well, has a hamstring issue. So I guess the Niners would rather play against Sam Howell because he's a turnover machine.
Yeah, this should be a field day for them. You know, first of all, it's tough having to travel across country, yes, but this Washington team, they're on the next year. Their season is done. And so you hope, you know, in NBA terms, this is one of those games where, you know, you can open up a 21-28-0 lead and, you know, get your backup some reps because you're right. Some of these star players, they need a break, man.
Yeah, it's the rare 10 a.m. our time start for the Niners. Yeah. You see a few of those, but, you know, they're so popular, they tend to put them on the primetime windows and the later TV windows. So short week, 10 a.m. start. 49ers in Washington, hear it right here. Huge game. If they don't bounce back big time this week, then they got issues. But they will. They will.
If they don't, I'm going to be insufferable. I'm going to be the worst. And I'm in studio next week, and I'm back in Saturday. Oh, come on. I got faith in the Niners. They should make quick work of this Washington team.
When we come back and wrap up the show, we had so much fun with this yesterday, Kyle. Our guy, Brendan, at SacktownSports.com has come up with three potential Kings deals. So okay. I want to see if any of them does anything for you, okay?
Okay, yeah, let's do it.
See if any of these do anything for you, Kyle Draper, or you, dear listener, right back with that here. Kyle's in Atlanta, Whitey in Sacramento. Drive, guys, on Sacktown Sports.
The NFL's leading rusher plays here.
And a handoff to McCaffrey, walks in the end zone. Handoff to McCaffrey, takes it right down to the goal line. He does his thing again.
McCaffrey goes in motion right. Backwards pass led by Juszczyk. A block there.
Hurdles a man. 10-5. Touchdown! CMC!
You can hear all of Christian McCaffrey's touchdowns on your home for 49ers football. Sacktown Sports. Your afternoon home for Kings Talk and so much more. The Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.
Heading down the home stretch because we've got game night coming up here. Kyle Draper in Atlanta. Whitey Gleason in Sacramento. We were talking earlier, Kyle, about the most memorable moment of 2023 for Kings fans. Yeah. And we agreed it was that first playoff game against the Warriors. Tin on the text line says, hey, Clippers double overtime game, number one unforgettable phenomena of 2023. I forgot about that one. Yeah, 176, 175, whatever it was.
Yeah, that was amazing. And the thing about that game, and I'll always remember it, is that the Kings were down several times late in that game. The end of regulation, they had trailed by 10. Overtime, they were down about 6 or 7 with like a minute and change to go. Double over, but yet they kept fighting back, like the will to fight back. That's what I'll remember about that game.
Yeah, and I may have told you this before. I don't mean to be redundant, but what I'll always remember about that game is that same night the Warriors were playing the Rockets in San Francisco, and I was covering that game. And after the game, as we were waiting for Steve Kerr to come out, we had Anthony Slater watching the Kings on his phone, and Tim Kawakami, you know, who's a Bay Area sports writing legend, he was asking Slates, like, hey, what's the score? What are the Kings doing? I thought, man, I've never seen that before. The Kings certainly had arrived. Yeah, unforgettable game. Yeah.
Yeah, great year. 2023, a fantastic year for the Sacramento Kings.
Yeah, so maybe there'll be a big deal made next year that we'll be talking about. I don't know. But Brendan, SacktownSports.com, Brendan Nunes, one of our insiders, has a couple proposed deals. I know they talked about this on Styles and Watkins earlier. Let me just see, Kyle, if these do anything for you. Dorian Finney-Smith, and the proposed deal from Brendan is, and supposedly he's done some research on this, but, you know, a lot of this is just he's kind of spitballing. Kings acquire Dorian Finney-Smith. Nets acquire HB Davion. Sacramento's 2026 first, top four protected, and Portland's 2025 second. So what do you think of Dorian Finney-Smith to the Kings?
I like the player, a 6'7", 3-and-D guy. A guy that can defend, you know, on the perimeter, some of the best wing players out there. One thing that I'll say about, you know, Brendan's trade package, and this is a theme through all of them, is that enough, though, in terms of are we giving up enough?
Mm-hmm.
Basically, a first-round pick and, you know, Davion for Dorian Finn. Like, my question is, why would these other teams do that? And that's with everything he's going to mention here.
Right.
But from a player standpoint, I would love Dorian Finney-Smith. I think he's tough, can shoot the three ball. Like I said, I think he'd be a perfect fit. We need 3-and-D guys on this team.
Yeah, and as far as the three goes, he's shooting 44.8% from threes on 5.5 shots per game. So I also feel like that would be a nice move in the right direction for the Kings. But if you really want to improve, you'd might have to make another move as well. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right. Yeah, and that's the thing. I don't know if it moves the needle enough.
Yeah.
Like, we got to have a realistic conversation. Where are the Sacramento Kings? Now, adding Dorian Finney-Smith, that's a good move.
Mm-hmm.
But does that take you from first round to Western Conference Finals? I don't know. Like, I could argue you could get to the Western Conference Finals as presently constructed. And so I don't think Dorian Finney-Smith moves you closer to a championship yet.
Yeah. This is deal number two, as proposed by Brendan Nunes. Kings acquire Alex Caruso and also a guy named Terry Taylor that they would have to throw into this deal to make the salaries match. So Kings get Caruso, Bulls get Herder, Colby Jones, and Sacks 2026 first-round pick, top 10 protected. What do you think?
Same thing, Whitey. Mm-hmm. I love the player.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you're giving up a first and Kevin Herder and Colby Jones, who a lot of people like. I thought he was that guy. I thought he was a guy that needed minutes, had earned minutes. And so I like Caruso, the player, the toughness, the defense, the shot making. But if I'm Chicago, is that enough?
Mm-hmm.
Especially when the Lakers are going to be making a bid. The Sixers might be in the mix. And so, like, I think, and I respect Brendan's basketball acumen, knowledge,
sure,
his ability to cover the team, but we're looking, like, some of these deals are looking like steals, you know? Like, I think that the asking price for these players is going to be higher than what Brendan's mentioning here.
Another thing that comes to mind on this deal is Caruso's age, and I think we're all in agreement.
Yeah.
We talked
yeah.
about it yesterday. Hey, it'd be a nice fit here. And
what
he's 29. He's not
29?
Ancient.
Okay.
But, you know, some of the guys that we've been talking about, they really age-wise fit in with your core. And Caruso is a little older, so that's something to keep in mind, too, is like, wait, whoever I bring in, by the time my core is really has matured and is the best it can be, can a guy I bring in still be that effective? So, you know, like I said, Caruso's not ancient or anything, but, you know, 29 or 30, I start to worry about that. Third and finally here, P.J. Washington, Kings acquire P.J. Washington. Charlotte gets Sasha Davion, Portland's 2025 second, and Sacramento's 2026 second. So, again, this is, you know, Brendan spitballing based on some intel from Charlotte, but Kings don't even give up one of their first-rounders to get P.J. Washington.
For a 25-year-old forward, we're not even giving up a first. This is – Brendan, you're my guy, bro, but this is not – NBA 2K, this is not, you know, we'd have to get, why would Charlotte do that deal?
The only reason they do that is because they don't really want P.J. Washington, and I'm not sure I really want P.J. Washington either. He's just kind of like, wow, he seems like he should be better than he is. I don't know how he helps me, Kyle.
Yeah, but, you know, I look at P.J. and the system he's in and the culture he's in. To me, he's one of those guys, and we talked about it, that you get him in the right situation,
mm-hmm.
you buy low, and then he blossoms into something. I think P.J., who's had some big games, he's had a 42-point game against us, I believe. And so I do like the player. I don't think Charlotte would give him up for that package that Brendan is talking about.
Well, if you watch the game tonight, you listen to it here, if you watch it with Kyle on the call, NBC Sports California, keep an eye on DeJounte Murray, that's the guy that...
That's our guy.
That's our guy. Great job, Kyle. Appreciate it. We'll be watching you. Happy New Year, and we will talk to you again soon.
All right, talk to you guys soon. Thanks, man.
Yep, thank you. And we've got game night. Scott Marsh and the High Flyer returns next right here on Sacktown Sports.